KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8:02, we have mostly clear skies and 13 degrees in Atlantic. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. And the news is brought to you by First National Bank. They're locally owned and proud to be your full-service bank. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. The Cass County Board of Supervisors will hold their regular meeting in Atlantic this morning. During that 9 o'clock session at the courthouse, the board will act on approving a 2% cost of living increase for child support recovery employees as covered under the Intergovernmental Cooperative Reimbursement Agreement between the county and the Department of Human Services. The supervisors are also expected to act on funding for the Cass-Ottoman Border Economic Development Agreement, or CABITA, and paying for the Valley Business Park property loan. They'll also receive and possibly act on bids for sanitation and recycling services at the courthouse and jail, as well as approving the hiring of an Operator 1 position applicant for the Secondary Roads Department. I'll have more news after this.
First National Bank is locally owned and proud to be your full-service bank. They have the expertise needed to provide you excellent service with a great selection of banking and investment needs. They have a complete line of lending services available, and they offer insurance sales. At First National Bank, you'll be greeted with a friendly face at the teller's window, as well as each special desk. First National Bank in Fontenelle, Greenfield, Messina, and Anita, where you'll get the most banking service for the least cost. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
The Shelby County Board of Supervisors have approved an economic development assistance contract for a company located just outside of Harlan. During their regularly scheduled meeting on Tuesday, Jan Nielsen, director of Shelby County DevelopSource, told the board the contract with Proliant had been amended from $225,000 to $336,000. The award to Proliant came from the Iowa Economic Development Authority. The company will use the money as part of their $22 million expansion project, which is currently under construction. Al Linen, manager at Proliant, told the supervisors the expansion will add 25 more employees to the already 36 current workers there. Proliant is the biggest plant making stocks and broth in the United States. The expansion of the plant will not require the use of any tax dollars. Linen said at the meeting, if all goes well in the current expansion, the plant will see another phase and expansion right away. Proliant is expecting the construction and expansion to be completed by the end of the year. In other business, the Shelby County Board of Supervisors sold a tiny piece of land in the city of Irwin. The 10-foot by 100-foot section of land was near the Ball Diamond in Irwin. That city's bid of $1 was the only bid the board received. And Shelby County Auditor Marcia Carter had reported that on the recent Hotel and Motel Tax Committee action, Carter said the committee had approved $10,000 for the city of Harlan for the Today in America program, and the county had received $10,000 for the improvements completed on the Shelby County Courthouse. Both the city and county had submitted proposals before the change to the Hotel and Motel Tax Committee. A report published in the Omaha World Herald said the city of Hamburg will be forced to remove an additional 8 feet of dirt piled on top of a levee that's designed to protect the city from flooding by the Missouri River. The paper said because the city was unable to raise more than $5.5 million needed to bring the levee within federal regulations, it must remove extra dirt added to the levee. The result will be a levee reduced to its pre-2011 flood height of 11 feet, which city leaders say is not enough to protect the community from flooding. Despite a $1 million contribution from the Iowa Economic Development Authority and an extension by the Corps of Engineers that allowed the city to continue raising funds until March the 1st, the city of Hamburg was still $4.6 million. Short of the funds necessary to keep the additional dirt on the L575 levee beginning at the end of the beginning of the year. City officials have said removal of the levee would cost Hamburg about $1 million. Members of the Cam School District's Board of Education this week approved a change order for the new multi-purpose building that will be constructed this summer north of the Cam North Elementary School. Superintendent Steve Pelzer told KJAN News yesterday the change makes the building a little bit wider and changes the slope of the roof.
It added another $20-some thousand to the original bid. The original was around $584,000, I think.
In fact, it was $584,800, and that bid came from Jensen Builders out of Ames. When complete, the building will house a gym with storage areas, restrooms, drinking fountain, and music room. The building is expected to be finished by mid to late August. Pelzer said the board also discussed but took no action on replacing the football scoreboard with an LED-type board.
We just have to upgrade it. And we didn't make a decision last night. I think we are going to get a new scoreboard because it's cheaper to get a new one than to convert this one. And then we're also looking at play clocks for the end zone, but we're going to do some more checking on that. No decision made there yet.
Elsewhere in the news, the surgical operating rooms are temporarily closed at the VA Medical Center that serves Western Iowa veterans. Will Ackerman, spokesman for the hospital in Omaha, says faulty humidifiers have forced the shutdown of the surgical suites.
Even though there were some rumors about potential mold contamination, that was never an issue, and we identified that there was no presence whatsoever of that.
No veterans were ever placed in harm's way, he says.
At no time was there any risk to any patients during any of the procedures.
The humidifiers that failed were some 50 years old, but Ackerman said there was no issue with mold.
We identified and did lots of testing for spores and to make sure that there was no potential risk to our veterans, and we've identified that there was not.
The surgical suites are closed until further notice. Ackerman said the VA may have to consider leasing space at other medical centers in the area through a share agreement until the problem is resolved. The Atlantic City Council is scheduled to meet this evening in the Senior Center cafeteria room while renovation work continues on the City Hall building. During their session this evening, the Council may act on a resolution approving a bond purchase agreement not to exceed $2.72 million for the City's 2013 Capital Improvement Plan. Approving the agreement would lock in interest rates and is the next step in the process to pay for the construction of improvements to the City's streets and storm sewers. In other business, the Council on Atlantic is expected to act on a resolution setting April the 3rd at 5:30 p.m. as the date and time for a public hearing on a loan agreement not to exceed $6.6 million for sewer revenue bonds. During the last City Council meeting, Administrator Doug Harris said it would be advantageous for the City to issue bonds at current interest rates rather than draw down on the remaining $6.6 million from a state revolving loan fund to finance the wastewater treatment plant. Harris said it would save the city an average of $23,500 a year for the first 17 years of the bond maturity structure for an overall savings of about $391,000. And the council will discuss tonight and consider a tax increment financing or TIF application from Sontag Development for a $250,000 grant from the city for the construction of 10 duplexes. The matter had been referred to the Community Development Committee, which said the proposed Southern Heights 2 subdivision was a good product, and public assistance could be considered since it met the minimum standards under a new, broader TIF policy. However, the Atlantic CDC did not offer a conclusive opinion on whether public funding should be granted. The committee decided to forward the application back to the council for its consideration without a specific recommendation for action. Whatever action the council takes, if any, this evening will set a precedence for the standards and purpose of the use of public funding when similar TIF requests are made, along with how much public assistance will be the standard. And the Page County Sheriff's Office reports the arrest on Monday of a woman wanted for a probation revocation. 22-year-old Justine Sherry Powers of College Springs was arrested in Montgomery County just after 5 p.m. Monday. She was brought to the Page County Jail and later posted a $1,000 bond. Powers is scheduled to appear in court at a later date. Taking a look at our world headlines this hour, a manhunt is underway in Colorado for a gunman who killed the head of the Colorado Department of Corrections last night. Sheriff's officials say Tom Clements was shot at his home in Monument when he answered his front door at around 8:30 local time. Police have been searching the woods around Clements' home and going house to house trying to find out what neighbors know about the shooting. President Barack Obama is assuring Israel that the U.S. is committed to its security. On his first visit to the country since taking office, the president is cautioning that the Middle East's winds of change bring both promise and peril. After getting off Air Force One in Tel Aviv, Obama was picked up again, by an open microphone, joking to Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu that he was, quote, getting away from Congress. The chairman of the House Intelligence Committee said there's a high probability a chemical agent was used in northern Syria yesterday, and if so, the U.S. needs to intervene. Yesterday, the Obama administration disputed the Syrian government's claim that rebels had used chemical weapons in Aleppo. But this morning, Congressman Mike Rogers said the U.S. knows there's some forensic evidence that at least small quantities of chemical weapons may have been used. I'll have a check of the funeral announcements coming up next.
At First National Bank, we strive to make your banking experience as simple and convenient as possible. If you would like to enjoy the benefit of banking anytime, anywhere, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, without an interruption in your busy day, sign up for our free online banking. Signing up is easy. Just visit our website and click on Enroll to try our online banking demo for a trial run. Locally owned, locally active, and proud to be your bank. In Fontenelle, Greenfield, Messina, Anita, and Correctionville. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
In the funeral announcements, Shirley Morey, age 85 of Atlantic, died Saturday at the Heritage House in Atlantic. Funeral services for Shirley Morey will be held tomorrow at 11 o'clock at the Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic. Alex Ohl, age 34 of Manning, died Monday at his group home in Carroll. Funeral services for Alex Ohl will be held on Thursday at 11 a.m. at the Odie Funeral Home in Manning. Donna Lee Landsman, age 78 of Harlan, died Sunday at her home. A funeral service for Donna Landsman will be held Friday at 10:30 at the Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan. Laura Garrett, age 100 of Stewart, died Friday at the Community Care Center in Stewart. Funeral services for Laura Garrett will be this Friday at 10:30 at St. John's Evangelical Lutheran Church in rural Adair. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home of Adair has arrangements. Alwyn Price, age 84 of Atlantic, died Tuesday at the Cass County Hospital. A funeral service for Alwyn Price will be on Friday at 11 a.m. at the First United Methodist Church in Atlantic. Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic has the arrangements. Jim Burnett, age 76 of Earlham, died Sunday at the Madison County Hospital in Winterset. A memorial service for Jim Burnett will be Friday at 5 o'clock at the Johnson Family Funeral Home in Earlham. Pearl June Cole Kenny, age 90 of Overland Park, Kansas, died Sunday at Overland Park Nursing and Rehab. A memorial service for Pearl Kenny will be on Saturday at 11 o'clock at the DW Newcomers Sons Johnson County Chapel in Overland Park. And Mary Ann Olberding, age 78 of Manila, died Tuesday at the Nebraska Medical Center in Omaha. A massive Christian burial service for Mary Ann Olberding is currently pending at the Odie Funeral Home in Manila. Our news and funeral announcements were brought to you by First National Bank with locations in Fontenelle, Greenfield, Messina, Anita, and Correctionville. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.